today on Family Talk.
Well, welcome everyone to this Monday edition of Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in behind the microphone today for our host, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. Those in committed marriages will agree, arguing and conflict are unavoidable parts of every relationship. However, those periods of discord are not meant to last forever. Forgiveness and understanding are keys to quickly ending those turbulent seasons. And in just a moment, we're going to delve into this tough subject of emotional disconnection in marriage. One of the foremost authorities on marital issues is our guest today, Dr. Sharon May. Dr. May is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's also the founder of the Safe Haven Relationship Counseling Center. Dr. May is also a well-traveled speaker and a respected author as well. Today, she'll be joining Dr. Tim Clinton to address the seemingly endless cycle of arguing that ensnares many marriages. She'll explain why couples must be vulnerable and communicate better so that reconciliation can take place. This is a meaningful program that every husband and wife needs to listen to. So here now is our own Dr. Tim Clinton to introduce this subject on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Sharon, thank you for joining us. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes 9:9 to live joyfully with the one you love all the days of your life. And you know what, Sharon? That's what it's supposed to be all about. There's nothing more beautiful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone supposed to love you and they actually what?
Love you.
Yes. Probably nothing more painful than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they don't love you. Or maybe you don't feel like they love you.
Yes.
Sharon, as we get started, you're big out there in this marriage, love and marriage world. You see the landscape every day. You're living in it. You're doing these marriage intensives. I refer to you personally. You've helped a lot of cases that we've handled together. What's going on with couples? Where are they at? There seems to be a real struggle for closeness.
You know, Tim, it's good to be with you, and you're right. On our wedding day, we marry because we long to share life with someone we love. And sometimes along the way we argue, the way we manage our differences, the way we try and be heard or understood, it leaves us disconnected. And to be emotionally disconnected in a marriage is the most loneliest and painful place to be.
Yeah, I want to offer a guilt-free drop today to all of our listeners. Hear us up front. All marriages are going to go through times of a disconnect, when you don't feel close, when it's not the way it's supposed to be, when there's not a lot of love going on between the two of you.
Yes.
And it's hard to put your hands together. It's hard to pray for each other.
Yes.
And those moments, they come.
They do, and they will happen sometimes weekly or monthly or yearly or seasonally. Let's face it. We've both been married a long time.
Yeah, so that's the guilt-free drop. This happens.
And it does. But the difference is that at the end of the day, despite all our arguing, all our differences, as John Gottman says, 69% of what you argue about is you're not going to really get resolved because it's about personal differences and lifestyle differences. But it's at the end of the day, I know you really care about me and you love me and you'll be there for me. And we,
you got my back.
You got my back.
I can see it, you know.
Yes.
And getting there, that's the challenge, you know. And I guess maybe age has a little bit to do with it, Sharon, but not necessarily. There are some skills in here that I want to talk about today that can help move couples toward each other, that can help them press through these rough, icy patches in their life. Sharon, let's talk about how couples get in trouble, first of all. What do you think it is? What are the big factors that eat away at our love together?
I think first, the way couples argue, the way I try and be heard and understood creates havoc between us.
Yeah.
When I feel not heard by you, I then get maybe louder. I might feel hopeless, like you're never going to hear me, so I take a step back. But the way we try and be heard by each other often makes us feel not loved and not cared for. We both are desperate. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. And as Dan Wiley says, I can't hear you until I feel you've heard me.
Yeah.
And I think we get stuck there. And the more we then cope with that, you didn't hear me, we put a meaning on it, then maybe you don't care about me, I'm not important to you, I don't feel understood. And then when we start guarding our hearts and we start taking the step back and we start protecting or protesting, please, please hear me, which only makes you feel more hurt by me when I protest. And when I guard myself, I back away. And that leaves us then little bit disconnected.
Yeah. It isn't if we're going to fight. It's
when.
When. And then Gottman, you referenced John Gottman, an eminent marital research expert. He said, it's not if, it's how you fight.
Yes.
That's really important to understand.
Yes.
There are things, people probably listening, some people say, we never fight. No, you just don't talk to each other.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, people start thinking.
Right.
Yeah, they don't fight. Of course you fight.
Yes.
You absolutely fight. You may not be verbal, but you fight.
But you're feeling it. But you know, you're making a good point, Tim. If you don't fight and you don't argue, that's nothing noble. Actually, it's detrimental to your marriage. If you both shut down, which is the way you're fighting, which is I'm not going to say
anything. Which means you swallow the pain.
Exactly. That actually, John Gottman's research of married couples, it is correlated with unhappiness, emotional disconnection, and divorce. We have got to be heard and understood by each other and get to know each other in a marriage.
Now, we're not saying you need to go home and have a fight today.
No, but you've got to
get after it or whatever. But
you got to share yourself.
There is some research out there that says that people who actually fight well love well. They just need to figure out the dynamic here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And we're going to use the word fight broadly, okay?
Exactly.
Let's call it disagreement,
arguing,
whatever.
Right.
I think most couples get into trouble very subtly, very unintentionally. We don't set out to just go at each other.
No.
But you're right. We've got something that's inside of us where we feel like we've been violated, whether it's real or perceived. And by the way, sometimes it doesn't have to be real. I just perceive, you know what? You're being nasty.
Yes.
Why are you bringing that up? You're just picking. It's all you're doing. Why don't you just stop?
Yes.
I ask you to stop.
Right.
And things like that begin to just escalate. Or we learn each other's hot buttons. I know how to tick Julie off. It's not hard. I got a couple of buttons. I can just push them real quick, and boy, she can go boom.
Yes.
And she can light up real quick.
But I can imagine that you and Julie, just like my drop-dead gorgeous husband Mike and I, at the end of the day, we come back. We come back to what I call our safe haven. We get on the lily pad of, I love you. I know you care for me and you've got my back. Let's repair this. Let's make sense of it because I hold your heart. I've got you. And a couple's ability to repair, as John Gottman says, it's not that we argue. You know, you might argue like an Italian, the two of you are just at it, or you might be more British, which is you more, you know, keep it under the vest. And it's how we can come back and say, you know, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You're right. I did have a tone of voice. You know, I think I meant it came across differently than how I meant. The ability to come back and repair, which allows us to emotionally reconnect, is the key.
So if you can't get to that common ground piece, that's what I'm thinking I'm hearing you say. If I can't get to common ground with you, then there's a wall that thickens between the two of us.
Yes.
There's a wall that just will not come down.
Yes, and it's built one brick at a time.
And it doesn't matter then how many, quote, nice things I can do or say. I'm having real trouble breaking through because I'm not going to go there. Because every time I let you in, all you're going to do is what?
Yeah.
You're going to hurt me.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. And so I keep that wall there. And it's like, why don't you stop?
Yeah.
I want couples to hear this because I think people also in this marital dance, we'll call it for a moment, they learn the power of anger. They learn the power of hurt too. You know, it's almost like I can make you angry. I can make you the villain. I can make you the bad guy. I'm going to make you lose it. I mean, Julie and I, we were in a restaurant one night. Sharon, it was the craziest scene. White tablecloth, people everywhere in the restaurant. And Julie looks at me and she says, "You need to turn around and look at this couple." And I said, "I'm not turning around." She said, "Oh, yeah, you need to, because this one's going to blow up really quick." And before long, this woman jumped up at her table, okay? And as she's jumping up, by the way, she caught the tablecloth with her. And she has this handkerchief in her hand, and she just, as she's getting up, she slams it, throws it down on the table, and screaming at him, and everything's flying everywhere, and she, embarrassed, runs out of the restaurant in front of everybody. The husband, there at the table, you know what he did? He put his face into his hands and put them down on the table and sat there. And I said to myself, that is painful. That's a mess.
That
you know
is.
That? And there are a lot of couples who constantly, every day, are in this place. And the scary thing to me, Sharon, is that we've learned the power of how we use words. We've learned the power of our behavior to continually hurt one another, and we never are able to do repair. And I think that's the big message here. Sharon, you, let me go back to your intensive work for a moment. You spend a lot of time with people trying to rip down these walls in 2 or 3 or 4 day intensives because you're trying to jumpstart them into a new world. You're trying to bring them back together. Give us a couple of fundamentals on how do we, how do I get to a place where I can even hear you anymore? It's like, I don't, it isn't just that I don't like you. I don't want to be around you. I'm not going to let you speak to me. How do you go there?
Well, you're right. Couples do come for 2 to 4 days for an intensive, and it's powerful because we can sit and unravel and make sense of what has happened over the history of our relationship to cause brick by brick us to be emotionally disconnected and very hurt and wounded by each other. Because you know, Tim, that couple at that restaurant, I will bet you, as John Gottman in his research found, when couples divorce, they said, "All I was longing for was to be emotionally connected in my marriage, and we didn't know how," because they got stuck arguing exactly the way a couple did in that restaurant. But if you put your hand through the way a couple is arguing, you really get to the heart of what's really going on. They each want to be seen and heard and loved, and they don't know how. One is pursuing, one is withdrawing, and if I don't feel you hear me, I can either get louder or I just eventually then give up and withdraw. But at the heart of that, I am longing for you to see, wow, I didn't mean to hurt you when I said that. I'm sorry. Or, wow, I didn't mean for you to take it that way, but I see you did. I'm sorry. We're just longing.
Everybody's screaming, but nobody can hear. Nobody can hear.
I can hear. Exactly.
I mean, and even the intention of it has gotten misconstrued. That's not what I'm saying. That's not where I'm at. You're completely wrong. No, I'm not wrong. You're wrong. No.
And I wish I had a tape recorder and to play back the argument, which couples, you know, couples all say. But you're right. And to start unraveling is to stop and say, I don't want to get stuck in our argument cycle anymore. More is going on. And I want to put my hand through this negative argument cycle to be able to get to the heart of what we're trying to get each other to understand.
So just maybe what I'm hearing and seeing is not really accurate. It could be that maybe even in the name of love, in our attempt to rescue our relationship, what we've done is we have sabotaged each other and our love. We just didn't realize it. No. I was trying to fix it. All I do is give. Even in the name of love, even in trying to be loving, I've become offensive to you. And I don't even see it anymore. Sharon, there almost has to be like a timeout. We've got to stop here. There are some issues, by the way, we can't discuss together. We're going to need somebody to help us get there. You know, and it's not the time to resolve them right now. What is time is for you and I to say, hey, listen, I'm sorry. If you feel like I feel, you must be exhausted. you must be so violated. You must feel so broken.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you what, that's how I feel.
Right. And it's like the woman in the restaurant, if we go back to that illustration. If she, as she stormed out, went outside and kicked and yelled and said, I can't believe the husband I'm married to, suddenly stopped and said, hey, I wonder if he is hurt just like me. And I wonder if he is trying to get me to understand his heart. Mm. Just as desperately as I'm trying to get him to understand my heart. What if she turned around, walked back into that restaurant, stood over her husband and said, sweetheart, love of my life, I am so sorry, but the way I'm trying to get you to hear me is not working, is wounding you. I am so sorry for my part.
That's a good word.
And if he could look up and say, you know, this is a hot topic, we can't talk about it, but you're right, I want to understand you, and I want you to understand me. I am sorry. Can we do this differently? The two of you can then choose a different path and a different way of being. And you're right. Sometimes we can't risk to be vulnerable. Even though one of us has to start, sometimes we do need to go to an intensive. And I do want to invite listeners, don't do it alone. Call Family Talk, you know, call Safe Haven Relationship Center. We will help you find help so that you can start a new conversation that can start a reparative journey to emotionally reconnect. And I want to give hope, Tim, because, you know, of all the intensives I do, couples who divorce at years later say, I wished I could have figured out how to have repaired and emotionally reconnected with my spouse. We just didn't know how, and we didn't have the resources. So I want to encourage today, if you're listening and you are emotionally disconnected with your spouse, get help, reach out. Yes, you need prayer. Yes, God is with you, but he's also maybe opening up a path for you to make that phone call. Come to an intensive. Call us. We will help you find the resources so that you can start a journey of healing and emotionally reconnecting.
You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Our special in-studio guest today, Dr. Sharon May. Sharon is a marital research and practitioner expert. That's how I like to describe her. We're talking about the emotionally disconnected marriage. We're talking about a lot of marriages out there. And the guilt-free drop we offer right up front, Sharon, was all couples are going to go through periods of disconnection, times when it's not close, times when it's not working. It's what you do in the midst of that that will determine the future health of your marital relationship. I think that you identified a pursuer distancer pattern. One person can feel like they're doing everything. And even in their pursuit of the marriage, they don't even realize some of the things they're doing, it's driving the other spouse right up the wall. I mean, the intention is, oh, you know what? We just need to get into Ephesians 5. We need to do an Ephesians 5 marriage. Or you need to become a Proverbs 31 woman.
Right.
That's the problem here.
Yes.
You just don't understand it, honey.
Yes.
And in our intention, which, by the way, may be noble in the raw sense, but often it gets played and manipulative, and it's more of the game that's going on, Sharon. We need to rip these walls down. I mean, can you tell me, what do you love about each other? The sad thing is most couples in trouble, they don't even know what they love about each other or what they like from their spouse anymore.
Right. They rewrite the history. But you know, Tim, in my work with couples of over 1,000 intensives that I've done, when I hear one of the spouses saying, you know, we may not have ever been connected. We may not have ever really felt this deep in love. We might have been so connected for many years and just bit by bit, kids, work, life just deteriorates out and causes us to be disconnected. Whatever it is, when I hear that one spouse saying, you know, I don't want to be this negative person anymore. I don't want to be arguing and bickering and pursuing and being critical.
I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want to fight with you
anymore. I want to be a better person. I want to love you well because that's what God has called me to do. That's who I want to be. When we can each take personal responsibility for being all God has for us to be. Because, you know, loving well is the greatest command and the most difficult thing to do. And God says you have got to have courage and character to love well. And when we say, regardless of how you react, you might needle me, give me a look, roll your eyes, but, you know, I'm not going to react to that because who I want to be is caring and loving and considerate, and I want to change the way I react. When we can step back and instead of saying, I'm only this way because of the way my spouse, you know, treats me or reacts, and we can say, no, I want to be a better person, and we get before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to humble myself. I want to know you and to be refined by you so I can go back and love well. That is the beginning of real change. Because then our spouse can trust. You really want to be Christ-like. I can trust that.
And Sharon, this is not easily done, primarily because there's so much history. Hear us on this. This journey out doesn't just snap your fingers and we're going to get there. Maybe God will miraculously do something. But more often than not, this is a journey back.
Yes.
This is a step-by-step, slow process that, by the way, when you do things the right way and you own what you need to own and you give the football over to your spouse as much as you can, you can't control them. They're going to have to own their responsibility before the Lord. And I think if you can give that in that way and say, you know what? What am I guilty of in this moment loving you? I'm going to try to figure that out. And is it going to be tough? Yeah. And it may be, by the way, that you need someone to help you in that journey. A mentor, a coach, a pastor, a counselor. It may be that you need to go to an intensive program or more. But somewhere in here, get the fuel, get the strength, get Aaron and her around you like Moses did to hold your hands up, your arms up, so you can prevail in this battle. Because here's what we know. All hell, if your marriage has any value to God, I believe this, all hell will be against it.
Yes.
And so in this moment, what we're committed to is praying that God would put a hedge around that relationship and that he would do something mighty in this moment. Draw a circle, step inside that circle and say, God, start that change inside this circle. And if you do that, we think that God will meet you there.
Amen.
We don't know what the outcome will be,
right,
but we know this, God will meet you there. Sharon, the closing word here as a word of encouragement to that husband or that wife who right now are crying out to the Lord saying, God, do something in our home, in our marriage right now.
Yes. I want to speak to each of you who is brokenhearted. Know that God sees your broken heart, but also that your spouse is also brokenhearted. Even though your spouse might be angry or shut down and withdrawn, they long to be loved just as you long to be loved. And if you can soften your heart, put your hand through those prickly porcupine quills, through that cold castle wall to your spouse's heart and see them as a struggling human being who longs to be seen and loved and valued just as you do. And having that empathy and trying to understand what's going on from their perspective will start taking that first brick off. So you could start seeing them through God's eyes, a struggling human being who just wants to be loved like you do.
You know, Sharon, in closing, I think back to my early training. I go back to some of the early works of Dr. Dobson, understanding the needs of men, understanding the needs of women and more. We lose sight of all that. And Dr. Dobson wrote a book called Love Must Be Tough, which really changed the way I began to see relationships, that relationships take a lot of hard work.
Yes.
You get out what you put in.
Yes.
And it's a grind every day in the healthiest sense. That I'd like to say that. You know that? Let's suit up, let's show up, and let's do the work of what it means to love and be loved. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Tim.
Well, we hope you've been encouraged by this incredibly intuitive edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Disconnectedness in marriage is extremely frustrating. It's also demoralizing. If your relationship is struggling right now, it is our prayer that you will seek out support. As Dr. Sharon May has shared with us today, you don't have to walk this road alone. visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org for a link to Dr. May's Safe Haven Relationship Counseling Center. While you're online with us, you can also check out our resources tab for useful materials to help you and your spouse in this area. You'll find all of this at drjamesdobson.org, the broadcast tab and the resources tab. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow to hear Dr. Dobson read his brand new September newsletter. His latest letter focuses on the core issue behind so many of the mass shootings we've been experiencing lately in this country. You won't want to miss his insights on this topic. It's coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.